The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Podcast. Hey everyone, welcome to the I Don't Get It podcast. Today it is Naz and I, and we are interviewing Amanda Bible. She is the host of the Related podcast, and she is a trainer and expert in neuro-linguistic programming. Okay, so that means that she specializes basically in manifestation, which you all DM me about, and Naz too, because we're both pretty much known as pretty decent manifestors, and she's also an expert in the subconscious mind. So we're having her here today to talk about kind of like two things: family stuff and then mindset stuff. Where should we begin? Naz, where do you want to begin with Amanda?
I think let's start with family stuff.
Okay, cool. So when you first reached out to us to talk about how you are now, like, I've known you as kind of just like girl talk girl, because I was on your podcast years ago when it was with you and your sister, Carly Bible, and you guys talked about just like, you know, sister things like we do here on this podcast. But now you've really switched over into like the coaching realm. So anyway. All right, Amanda, let's talk about you and what you do and how you can help people with like their family stuff, generational traumas and such.
So I am an expert in neuro-linguistic programming, which is essentially the science behind manifestation, is how your mind works and twerks behind the scenes, essentially.
Works and twerks. I
works
love
and twerks. If you get, when you get to know me, you'll know that like everything has to do with like twerking and music, because I do not twerk, although I have been trying. My husband's not really happy about the progress there, but we're good.
That's so mean.
But essentially what happened is, as Ashley, we met in 2020, right before my first baby was born.
Right. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now I have a 2.5-year-old and a 9-month-old.
Yeah.
And because I'm like fully integrated.
You crank them out.
Yeah. We're done. We are. Yeah. There's no more happening.
No,
but like now that I'm fully integrated in motherhood, I've realized that there is just such a need for mindset for moms. Like, we get all of this support as we're like in like the, you know, pregnancy phase and all of the things. But like once we get into that fourth trimester, there's not much like support out there to really help us work through all of the feelings. But then on the flip side, work through our feelings so that we can model excellence and model like healthy relationships for our kids. Because if we're feeling like shit, then our kids see that. And then they start to repeat everything that we do and say. And with like everything that I specialize in, the generational patterns get handed down whether we realize it or not. And it's not our fault, but when we become aware of what we do and say on a regular basis, we're able to change it, because we can't change something we're not aware of. So an example of what has been a big passion of mine is like modeling becoming our own best friend and modeling an amazing relationship with ourselves so that our kids can become their own best friends and talk to themselves the way that we wish we could have talked to ourselves at a young age, because no one taught me how to have a positive, amazing mindset. Like, it's something you learn, right? It's something you learn through watching others. And just an example is like, I say fuck about everything.
Like, yeah, me too. It's such a bad thing.
But like Julian uses it in context now. That's my 2.5-year-old. And he didn't learn that from school.
Really?
Whoa.
I think that would be in context. And like he says it, which is problem number one. And then two, like he uses it.
He uses it. But I don't correct him anymore because I don't, you know, at toddlers, if you tell them no, they're going to keep doing it. But whenever I forget something, I go, oh, fuck, like that. So whenever he forgets something, he goes, oh, fuck.
And then, oh, wow.
And then I realize it's a bad word because I'm not telling him. So I recently started saying, oh, shoot. Oh, my goodness. And now he's starting to say that instead. Okay.
It's wild, like how they truly are sponges. And I love that we're having this conversation because I've talked about this on the podcast before, but I really feel like you also learn how to react and emotionally regulate from, you know, your parents. Yeah. And so like when I was learning how to ride bike with my dad, you know, and this example has been in books, but you know, they say when a kid falls off a bike, they actually don't know how to react and they look to the parent to sort of emulate how they react. Mm-hmm. And so if you have a parent that's like, it's okay, you're fine. Like, get up. We'll just like do it again. Then I think you just sort of absorb that as like a way to dealing with issues. Yeah. And my parents had like a lot of anxiety and they would be like, oh my God, are you okay? Oh my God. Like, did you get hurt? And I've noticed that like, that's sort of what my body does when conflict like arises. I'm like, oh my God, am I going to lose this? Like, is this okay? When it's like not something that I actually feel, I think I was just sort of programmed and I absorbed and learned that's how you should react when something goes wrong. And so you've had to like unlearn that. I've had to unlearn that.
Right. So with like creating awareness around the things that we do automatically, right, is how we can begin to change them so that our new automatic response becomes something that is emotionally regulated and supportive and able to boost our kids' confidence so that it promotes like all of these positive feelings and ways of being and positive self-talk, because how we react and how we talk to other people around us and how we talk to ourselves becomes our kids' internal dialogue, right?
So how do you talk to yourself? Like how did you become your own best friend?
Ooh, that's a great question. So it wasn't always like this. I actually come from a background of drug addiction and eating disorders and like all of the things where I was just like fully in the self-loathing, you know? And through my own journey and like entering into recovery, I somehow stumbled onto the personal development like space and learned that like the society's definition of what I had defined myself for so long as, which was a drug addict, isn't actually who I am. And I get to choose what my relationship with myself looks like. And through going through like deep inner work and defining what a positive relationship with myself looks like and defining what excellence looks like for me and what success looks like for me, I was able to undo all of the automatic programming and automatic thoughts that I had and implement tools. In a couple years ago is when I actually started this whole process. I would say in like 2017, 2018, when I started to like journey into manifestation, because manifestation is actually something that happens at the belief level. It's not about like waking up in the morning and saying like, I'm going to journal something. And if
that was like when you were saying on one of your Instagram reels, you're like, I don't believe in affirmations.
Yeah.
Which I kind of like loved. That was like the mic drop. And then you're like, because it's, could just explain what you meant by that.
Yeah.
Why don't you believe in affirmations?
I got a lot of like F you comments about that. And I'm like,
really?
Yes. Because people are like, well, affirmations have helped me so much. And yes, amazing. And they do help and they're awesome. And I do them with my 2.5-year-old and my 9-month-old all the time. We do affirmations. But what I'm doing is programming it in their belief level of like the I am statements of who they actually are, right? But if I'm going to go and do an affirmation in the mirror today and it's like, I am, I don't know, a super sexy multimillionaire lady who speaks on stages and sells out stadiums, like that's not true. Like it's not actually true, right? So if we're saying something that's not actually true, your mind will actually reject it. as a false statement and it won't okay. integrate. And in fact, it creates like this backwards moving effect because you're saying something that's not true. But if we can say it in a way that is true, then it can start creating momentum towards that positive outcome or like the future, or the desired space that you want to be in. Like for me, I do a lot of affirmations now where I affirm my like my future self. And I'll say like, I want to be living the life beyond my wildest dreams, or I want to be feeling so like uberly successful. And just by adding the want for me creates the true statement because how I'm saying it is actually true. Like I want to feel that way.
Okay. Right? So there was another Instagram reel that said like the mind doesn't know the difference between fake and real when you are in under hypnosis. But yes. I suppose that what you mean is that like you have to word it very properly.
It's all about how you say something for sure. Like if you are somebody who's in the mirror saying affirmations all the time, that's great. And it is helping you and it does make you feel positive. However, if you're saying something so outlandish that your mind is going to reject it, then it will say you'll start to move away from it because it's not true. It's like setting a goal way too high sometimes and you don't actually believe you can achieve it.
Hold on. I feel like I have so many thoughts because if you say I want something or I want to be living like the life of my dreams, right?
Mm-hmm. It's too big. Does that
then negate? Because then I guess I personally believe that we're like vibrational beings. And so yeah. You sort of want to like feel what it is that you want. Mm-hmm. But then I think if I personally said I want to be living the life of my dreams, then that would be telling my body that I'm not currently living the life of my dream. Like it feels like that's sort of negating.
Well, I
does
guess
that
it
make
depends
sense?
On
like,
if you,
cause that, it's like it. Lack, it's like focusing on the lack of it. Like that would be me focusing on the fact that I am not living the life of my dreams right now. Therefore, would I be attracting it if I'm not feeling it? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, mm-hmm. It makes perfect sense. And I think that's where a lot of the questions came in with the reel that I had posted
with
where I was like, by you saying this, it's not, by you saying affirmations, it's not actually helping you. And then I went ahead and reframed a lot of things. Now, for me, I am living the life beyond my wildest dreams. And I know that in a year from now, it's going to be even further beyond my wildest dreams. Now, if you are someone who isn't living the life beyond your wildest dreams and you want to be living the life beyond your wildest dreams, that would be a great affirmation to say. Because what happens is we have this thought cycle. And if we phrase things in the don't or in the not, when we say something negative, like if it's not something, we're actually focusing on that thing. So if I were to say to you, Ashley, don't think of the blue tray. What are you thinking of?
Of course you think of the blue tray or what right. blue tray. Yeah.
So it's all about how you are going to say something in order to create the thought cycle that supports that outcome. So if I were to say like, I don't want to feel overwhelmed today. And like, that's my way of like getting out of bed to, you know, crush that frustration and start the day on a really high note. Like, I don't want to feel overwhelmed. I'm not going to feel stressful today. I'm not going to feel like I am not enough. Like, I don't want to feel that way. It's going to be the best day ever. It's not going to be a bad day. What you're doing is you're creating these pictures of all of the knots, of all the things that you don't want to be feeling. Therefore, the law of attraction that you are creating or that you are embodying that day is of all the not things that you don't want.
We got to take a minute for a very fun sponsor. It's Lumi. You may have heard of Lumi before if you listen to the podcast. We love it because it's an all-body deodorant. So that means that you can use it on your pits, your privates,
and beyond.
Like little fat folds, you know?
I was going to say, I don't know what beyond is, but beyond is literally anywhere you want it to be. Use your imagination. It also controls odor up to 72 hours. So that's pretty nuts. You could literally go away on vacation, put it on before you leave and not even pack deodorant.
Exactly. That's what's so nice about it is because especially since I often put it on after a shower and I shower every other day, I don't have to think about, I know it's like a small thing, but you don't have to think about deodorant between showers.
Yeah.
In my case.
You can put it on your belly button. You put it on your thigh folds.
Do you have smells radiating for your belly button?
Some people do. I'm not going to say I do. Some people do. Okay. And it was created by an OBGYN who saw firsthand how normal BO was when being like diagnosed and mistreated and all. So like she knows that she made a product basically that can go everywhere, and that includes your vagine. So we love mm-hmm. that it's going to be like an unproblematic thing to put down there, because you know it can be touchy. It's aluminum free, baking soda free, and paraben free. So we love all the free stuff, and it's pH balanced for safe use below the belt.
We know about the pH balance and below the belt. Like Lauren has definitely been like, I think that my pH is off.
Yeah, that's a thing. And
I know it's a thing.
Okay. It's a thing.
I know it's a thing. But like you definitely,
I experience it a lot, because you know, if you sleep with the wrong people and your body's like, no, this isn't the right one, they're going to throw your pH off.
It rejects it.
It literally is like, this doesn't blend with us.
Okay. Can we go through this fun stat? 12 hours after a shower, the average person has an odor level of 6 out of 10. And with Lumi, the average odor level is a 0 out of 10.
It's pretty shocking. Pretty crazy. So if you guys want to try Lumi, they have the perfect starter pack. And it's perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick of deodorant, a cream tube of deodorant, and then two free products your choice, like a mini body wash or deodorant wipes. I like the wipes. Little to-go wipes and free shipping. So as a special offer for our listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with the code GETIT30 at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use the code GETIT30.
I guess mine was more like the want word. Like instead of saying I want to be living... What's the difference to you between saying I am living the life of my dreams and I want to be living the life of my dreams? Does that make sense?
Yeah. So I actually do believe that I'm living the life of my dreams. So if I were to look in the mirror and my affirmation for the day is I am a multi-millionaire speaker who attracts hundreds of millions of people and sells out stadiums, that's not true. I am not a person who speaks on stages and sells out stadiums yet. So by me saying that, it's creating this disconnect because that statement isn't true. Uh-huh. Okay. But if I were to say, I want to be selling out stadiums, and I want to be speaking on stages, and I want to totally embody the life beyond my wildest dreams, you're then creating this picture in your mind of speaking on stages, selling out stadiums, and then you can start to create the actions in order to get there. So it's working with the law of assumption in a sense. Mm. So if when I say want, when I want something, it doesn't come from a place of lack. It comes from a place of setting my goal into the future instead of saying something and it not being true. And then I go backwards because I'm like, well, it's not true.
Yeah. It's such an interesting thing because I think my body feels like resistance to it. And I think it's like, if you're listening, it's like whatever works for you, obviously, right. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like if I said I want, that would make it seem like far away. You know what I mean? Like that would make me feel like I think you can also go like general with statements instead of saying like I'm on stage attracting like millions of people. Like you could say I'm the best and most highly sought after speaker, you know, or what are your thoughts on like saying something like that?
Honestly, I think that that's a great way to do an affirmation. And when you get to specifics onto the things that you want to be achieving, that goes to like a whole new level of goal setting, manifestation, and then creating an action plan around it.
Yeah.
So when you're saying I think like for me, when I'm saying like affirmations, I'll say something like, I am living my healthiest lifestyle. I am a sexy badass bitch. Like I am influential speaker. Like all of that feels really good for my I am statement. But the actual thing that I've achieved, if I say I am the XYZ of like selling out stadiums, like, and that's not true, then that's when it doesn't. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah. Because the whole point is that words don't really, words and language are really important. But I think obviously feeling and vibrating at the level of what you're saying is like equally as important. So how can we make the connection between like whatever affirmation we're saying to like actually embodying it in our body?
Ooh, okay. So can you give me an example of an affirmation?
Yeah. So if we we'll just use the speaker one that we were saying. Okay. So if someone wants to be a speaker and they're like, I'm the best and most highly sought after speaker in the world, like how could someone embody that? Like, do you use visualization? Like,
could.
And then, and as far as like the neuro-linguistic background, like how does, do you know like how the words go to like feeling in the body? Do you know what
I mean? Yeah. So those are all really great questions. And like, for me, that is a huge goal of mine. Like, I want to be like the female version of Tony Robbins, selling out stadiums, like super sought after, all of the things. Right. Mm-hmm. So when I think about that, I think about, well, embodiment, right? So in order to embody that version of myself, what is it that the sold out version of me does on a daily basis? So breaking it down into like processes almost, or like actions, right? So I'm thinking, okay, sold out Amanda. What does sold out Amanda do on a regular basis? Well, she works out. She experiences like real full body joy and laughter. She looks in the mirror and knows that she is enough. She has an amazing, intimate, sexy relationship with my husband, like all of these like amazing things. Mm-hmm. Now, if I take a look at my life and like one of those things are kind of like off, like recently, which is really interesting, I actually did like this full life audit, because I'm like, something's missing. Like, we're like in a stuck holding pattern right now. Like, what's missing? Why am I not feeling fully embodied in the goals that I want and like the manifestations that I'm putting out there? I just felt like stuckness and complacent. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I took a look at like all the different aspects of life. Now, we all have lots of different parts of our lives. Like, we're all, you know, have like family or friends or love or business, career, money, personal development, spirituality, home environment, like all of these things, right, that make up who we are as a human and what keeps like our wheel of life going on a regular basis, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was looking at all of these things and like making little notes as far as like what's most important to me. And what I realized is that like the most important areas of my life, such as my relationship with my husband, Brett, was the one that was being most neglected, right? Like, I saw myself coming from a mile away. Now, I don't know if anyone here can relate to this, but like, he came in from, this is just an example. He came in from work the other day, the other month, because this is when I was like, oh my God, this needs to stop right now. And he comes over, like playfully slapped my ass. And I'm like, get away from me. Like, don't even touch me right now. Like, I am covered in puke. Like, I don't feel sexy. Like, my hands are in the dishes. Like, just stop. And I was like, oh my God, because like fully embodied Amanda is like, when he slaps my ass, I'm like, I'm grabbing his head and I'm like, take me, baby, you know? And that wasn't me in that moment. And it hadn't been me for a couple of months. So when I actually brought awareness to this, the last few months have been like, I mean, things have been great, but what I've noticed is that every other area of my life is just feeling so much more amazing and fully embodied. And now I'm really noticing where all the things that I'm putting in, like all the work, feels so much more fulfilling. And I'm like excited again. And I feel like revved up and juiced up. And like, when you think about all of your manifestations and all the goals that you're setting for yourself, like, where are you feeling obligated and resistant and resentful? And is this something that's supposed to feel exciting?
We take a quick break for our sponsor, AG1. I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, I'm hungry. When I get off, I'm going to eat. But when we get off, I'm actually not going to eat. I'm going to drink my AG1 on this empty stomach before eating anything today. I do really try to make an attempt to have my AG1 most days. It is chock full of amazing ingredients. So the one that I take, it's like the daily foundation of nutrition supplement. And it has, let me go through this list of ingredients. It's truly something. Okay, so the one serving that I just put like a scoop into water tastes good. The foundation nutrition, again, mix. It's got 75 high quality vitamins, probiotics, and whole food sourced ingredients. When I have this drink every morning, I know that like I'm basically checking all the boxes of the good stuff that my body needs in a day.
It's a one-stop shop. So AG1 replaces your multivitamin, your probiotic, and in a more simple way to drink. And If you can just like put it all in a drink, get it down, then you don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to worry about
it. It tastes good.
It tastes good.
It's not like something that you dread. I swear to you, you don't dread it.
So if you're looking for a simpler, effective investment in your health, try AG1 and get 5 free AG1 travel packs for a free 1-year supply of vitamin D with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/get it. That's drinkag1.com/get it. Check it out.
You've mentioned multiple times, like, you're living, you're out your wildest dreams.
Yes.
Let the audience know what that means to you.
So it's actually like beyond my wildest dreams. Okay, so for a second here, I want you to think about what your wildest dreams are. Cause like for me, it's like,
okay. Cause I was going to say, like, I mean, how wild are we getting?
No.
Are we just getting a good life, or are we getting like wild?
No, but it's beyond it. It's beyond anything you can dream up. Right. So the other weekend, me and Brett and the kids were just like walking around Costco, and mm-hmm. we were laughing and joking with each other. And I had like this moment of just like complete and total gratitude and like peace and joy. And I was looking around and I was like, oh my God, like I could have never dreamed this up. This is beyond anything I could have ever dreamed of because of how fulfilled I felt in that moment. We were in freaking Costco.
I love like, that.
It's like totally the epitome of like suburban mom, like whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. But like coming from a background where I literally spent every single day of my life like chasing the next drug and like self-loathing, hating myself, not wanting to be married, not wanting kids, not any of that stuff. Like that moment was just so beyond anything I could have ever imagined. That's what beyond my wildest dreams means.
Okay. So I have a follow-up then. Yeah. That is so nice. But do you think that achieving your personal wildest dreams is easier because you were so much lower than most people would ever consider themselves?
No, because I think that everyone has a story and everyone has like their own personal bottoms, and it doesn't have to be like you don't have to resonate with the fact that like you overdosed on drugs and ended up on life support and like almost died. Like it doesn't have to be your story. And that doesn't mean that you didn't experience a point in your life where like you didn't feel like you could go on anymore. And you didn't feel like such pain or so like such a failure. Like maybe you'd resonate with the moment where you looked at yourself in the eyes and you like the mascara was streaming and you were like, how did I get here? How did I end up here? That's what people resonate with. And I'm sure you've had those moments before, but it wasn't because the moment beforehand was because you were out using or drinking.
Yeah. And I think like, I love your Costco example because I think like that's so many people's dreams, right? Like if I was walking through Costco with my family and the love of my life and like beautiful kids, like I would feel so full. And I actually had that feeling this weekend where I went to Palm Springs with a couple friends, and like I just had like a great weekend, and I was like, God, life is just, you know, you just have those moments you're like, I feel so great and I don't need to change anything and I'm just so present in the moment. But I think this sort of brings up the discussion of how big you can dream. And I think you know, the phrase like the world is your oyster is so true. And I don't think people are programmed to dream big enough. Yeah. And I think it's like, a lot of it's like a product of your environment. And I was talking to a friend recently about this actually, where I used to be a host for the Dodgers. And I remember I would have to host charity events. And I was working this event with like a bunch of little kids in East LA. A lot of them were like, you know, I think I would say like all elementary school, all like kids of color. And I remember asking one little girl, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Like, I was just like talking to them. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I want to be a parking ticket, like person like my mom is. And I remember just like feeling, I was just like, it's just a moment I'll never forget because I remember feeling just so lucky that I grew up in a house, and that's totally fine. And that's an amazing profession. If she wants to do that, I'm sure she'll be great at it. And we need people like that in the world to do things like that. It just it made me recall my childhood where my dad would tuck me into bed and be like, you can be president of the United States one day, you know? And so mm-hmm. I think it's important like to check in with yourself and like ask yourself, how big are you dreaming? And what do you think your potential is? And is it a product of how you grew up? You know, is what you're doing what you thought would be your wildest dreams when you were little? And to, I think it's just important to check in when it comes to that stuff.
Amanda, before you respond, I want to say that like Daz and I had similar upbringings in that sense. Mm-hmm. Whereas like my husband, I don't know that it was his parents or if it was just something that like somebody or something like put into his brain, but he also was just like, you're going to live a great life, but you're going to stay in Rhode Island and you're going to have a very similar life to all the family around you. And you are going to work like a 9-to-5 and you'll make ends meet, but like never, like he was almost like, I don't know what instilled this in him, but thought that like he needed to stay very realistic about like what you turn out to be. And that was a very practical and like healthy thing to do, to like not set your expectations too big, which I find to be like very sad. And I was always, this is like always like something that we never argued over, but it was like one of our only like fundamental differences. I just remember this one fight. It's like the only fight that I can remember us having. It's like, I think I was looking at houses in Rhode Island. This was like years ago before we were even married. And he was like, you know that like, we're never going to have a house like that. Like, we're not going to be able to afford that. And I'm like, why would you ever say that? Like, that freaks me out about you that you like have this,
ceiling almost.
Like this ceiling, like, totally. Yeah, like he gave himself this ceiling.
This is the best like, it'll be. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, Jared, like, are you kidding me? Like, why, how can you think like that? Like our children will never be programmed to think like this.
Right.
And the house that we live in now is more than he ever imagined. That
beyond his wildest dreams.
Beyond his wildest dreams. And he also thought that, you know, he'd always work at a restaurant. He would never own his own. But now he owns his own. And like he has proven over a number of years that like his ceiling is way higher than he ever imagined it to be.
And you were probably a huge instrumental part of that, which is really cool.
Yes. And it's very special. I mean, I'll give myself credit for this. I don't think that he would have, and his family's even like, he wouldn't have done that or this or that if it weren't for you. But so sorry, I just wanted to personalize that a little bit because it really did strike a relatability chord with me.
I think that men just tend to be more, like at least in my experience, men have more realist. Yeah. I think my husband defines himself as a realist approach. Because they're masculine, right? Like masculine is like the do, and the feminine is more about like going with the flow and aligning and like reaching for the stars and all of that stuff. And I am very much like you, Ashley, where I'm like, you said that we are what? We're not going to be able to afford that. Like, let's check it before we wreck it, dude. Like, let's figure this out because where did you learn that from? Because that is not getting passed down to our kids. Like,
no. Yeah. And that gets us into like limiting beliefs, you know, because my parents never really had like a lot of money growing up. And like, I worked really hard, but I feel like even me, this is a perfect example. I'm like a huge dreamer. I want to be the best and most highly sought after TV host. I am the best and most highly sought after TV host.
She really is, or should be.
That's my affirmation. Thanks, Ashley. But I remember like talking to my friend, Jesse Israel, who I adore. And like, he runs this thing called The Big Quiet, and Oprah would take him on tour and he would like open up her tour with like mass meditations. It's really cool if you Google it. But I remember talking to him about wanting my own interview show. And he was like, the way you're talking about it to me, it sounds like it's happening like 10 years from now. And I think in my head, I was just thinking like Oprah's trajectory, right? Like, I mean, not Oprah's trajectory because she had her own talk show actually at my age right now. But, you know, when you think of like, like you think of people who have like that pedigree and illustrious career, but that's so antiquated now, you know, like now there's young people that have their own show and people's podcasts are popping off. And so he was like, I think you could have it like this year. And like, whether or not that happened this year, it was such a beautiful reframe because I was like, wow, I never thought that it could like, you know, happen. And I think we just have these weird limiting beliefs. I also thought I would never have an assistant. I was like, that's something that like rich white people had like growing up. And also something I thought that I would have years from now. And now I have one, you know? So I just think it's like, I think I just want people to like not have limiting beliefs. What are your thoughts on limiting beliefs, Amanda?
Well, they get passed down, and I believe that most of them aren't even ours to begin with, right? It goes back to our conversation about modeling and what we learn from other people, and from like whether it's our parents or our teachers or grandparents, caregivers, all of the things. Like, we take on these beliefs as if they're our own. So between the ages of 0 and 7, children are actually like these walking subconscious minds, essentially. Like, they don't have the ability to logic and like add logic or reason with things. So, for example, like the other day, Julian went to the pantry and he's like, Mommy, I want my gummy bears. And I'm like, I'm sorry, honey, the gummy bears are still sleeping. When they wake up, we can, you know, have some gummy bears. And he was like, oh, okay. And then like he continued about like his day. Like, he doesn't have the logic yet to know that like gummy bears aren't actually sleeping, or that, you know, the hungry hippos downstairs are going to sleep, so we have to go upstairs to bed now. Like, he doesn't understand that.
Yeah.
But that also goes to the sense of like they model what we do. And an example of modeling other than like the fuck thing was that my husband every morning like shaves in the mirror, and Julian will like go on over and he'll pretend to be like doing the same thing.
Oh
with the
my God, that's
cream.
So cute.
It's so cute, but he is doing it and he doesn't know why he's doing it. He doesn't just know the reason behind it. He just sees it, right? The same thing that he hears what I say, and then he says fuck in context, not knowing why he's saying it, just knowing that this is what mommy says when this happens.
Oh, I'm going to train my kid on meditation as soon as they wake up every morning.
Right? But like, that goes all the way
every
down
morning.
The whole rabbit hole of limiting beliefs. Yeah. So if you're like seeing your mom like in the like every Monday morning waking up and saying like, I'm going to start the diet today. Like, I have to lose the last 5 pounds. I'm not skinny enough yet to fit into these clothes. Well, and she's saying that out loud or like talking to herself a certain way in the mirror. Like, this is what you're going to learn as a child, that like the diet starts on Monday and I have to be a certain figure in order to fit in a certain kind of clothes or whatever the case may be. Right. So limiting beliefs are born not because of we decided them. It's because they're passed down through generations.
Yeah.
Do you remember your parents saying certain things?
I do. I remember their relationship. I remember that it wasn't one that I would potentially want to have in my life, and that, you know, set the whole phase of toxic relationships until, you know, I was told that I don't have to live through toxic relationships, that I get to be happy, and like it doesn't have to be like this way or that way from like a man and a woman. I remember my mom every Monday morning saying that she was going to go back on Jenny Craig or back on Weight Watchers, and then by Friday it was, you know, a whole other thing, and that her diet was going to start on Monday again. And like, I love my mother to death and I loved my dad so much, and that is not to say that they didn't do the very best that they could, because they were amazing parents, and we all come with our own set of limiting beliefs, and it's not like they did it on purpose, you know?
Yeah, of course.
I also specifically remember too, and this was actually a pattern of mine up until recently, that anytime that my mom would go shopping, she would go and hide the receipts and the packages before my dad got home.
Oh.
So I started to do that with my husband.
Whoa,
and this was like this whole other rabbit hole of like money mindset and the way that I was programmed around money, and that daddy was going to get mad if he knew that we went shopping or whatever the case may be in that sense too. And I realized that that was a pattern that I had in my own life with my husband too for quite some time.
That's wild. Yeah. It really is crazy. We're just like sponges.
We're going to take a quick break for one of our sponsors. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Have you guys ever felt like lost?
All the time, Naz. I'm lost every day of my life, every minute. Okay, and I'm so thankful that I can talk to you guys, but I also can talk to my therapist on BetterHelp, so they don't judge. They don't judge.
I don't
And that's
judge
what we love
you,
about
Lauren,
therapy.
But I still think that a therapist is super smart to have. Yeah.
Sometimes it's nice to have a third party.
Yeah, when you're talking to your friends or family about anything you're going through, I feel like it's really hard to like not be judged. But every time I'm in summer, like we're in summer right now, I feel like I'm always like, who am I? Like there's like
really?
This period
I'm always
of time.
Like, do I have to work? That's my summer brain.
Oh my God. Mine is just like, I'm so busy in the beginning of the year. And then when fall hits, there's like a lot of momentum and summer is a time like to slow down, which is great. But anyways, I wanted to bring this up because BetterHelp is a therapy service. If you guys have never heard of it, you probably have if you listen to our podcast, and it's affordable and it's really convenient. And when you're dealing with decisions around your career or relationships, or you're feeling lost, or maybe you're feeling stagnant because it's summer and there's not much going on like I am, it's a resource you can use to stay connected to what you really want while you're just trying to navigate life. And I feel like talking to a therapist really gives you that confidence and like excitement you need to trust yourself to make decisions that align with where you want to go in life.
Mm-hmm. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and it's going to match you with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time, no additional charge. So if you don't jive with them, it's totally fine. You can like date therapists.
So let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/get it today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/get it.
I wanted to ask you about energetically chasing someone. Ashley, you wrote how to get anyone obsessed with you, text you back.
That you and have I a think... reel on this as well. And I go, Amanda, I think that this can work for sure if the guy or the girl or whatever is already semi-interested. But you can't make somebody who just wants nothing to do with you text you.
Well, here's the thing. So the way that I actually learned this through, like, I don't know, going down the rabbit hole of TikTok one day too. And it all comes down to like your sacral chakra and like your desire space, which is interesting because I noticed everyone in my household today was wearing orange, and that's like the actual like the same. Right? Isn't that interesting?
I love that. That's
favorite color. I'm like, I need to tap into that today. I wonder if it means anything more than just having creativity and desire. I do too. But essentially, when we're energetically thinking about and chasing someone, there leaves zero room for them to come back at you because you're like, you're there all the time. So there's actually this meditation that I recently did with a couple of clients and also my sister where you close your eyes and you put your hands on your belly and you just
should we test this out? Should I like see if my husband's gonna text me right now as he's on the golf course?
Let's do it.
Yes, and I think it's important for you to also mention that it's not like all of a sudden like the president is gonna text you on your phone or someone who you've never.
This isn't like manipulative energy. It's like intentional.
It's kind of like a cord cutting too, because like when you cut the cord of like energetically being attached to someone, it leaves space for the cord to be reconnected, right? Mm-hmm. But if it's already happening, like where's the desire there, right? Like right. It's almost like you ever hear of like people chasing someone else and they're just like, leave me the fuck alone, like kind of want to.
Yes, I did of it course. On national TV.
Yeah. So basically you're calling all of your power back to you and you're imagining, like I like to do it with breath and just breathing into my belly because it brings you into that calm, cool, and collected and like really tapping into like your mind and like the mind-body connection. So when you breathe into your belly, you're just breathing in and out. And then you call your power back to yourself and you're imagining at the same time that this orange bright light is getting bigger and bigger and bigger behind your belly button. And you'll say to yourself, I lovingly and peacefully call all of my power back to me now. And you think of that person as you're repeating that mantra in your mind. And you're going to imagine that there's an orange ball behind their belly button as well. And that the orange ball leaves their belly button and comes back to yours.
I wish I had this trick a decade ago.
Yeah. So you just keep thinking that. You keep imagining
it's an orange
that.
Ball or an orange
ball of light.
Ball of light. Okay.
An orange ball of light.
Like so you picture it behind their belly button.
Because that's where your sacral chakra is, essentially, right? So you want to think about where that is. And then it comes back to you, and you're imagining all of your powers back to you now. And you're thinking about who you're taking the power from. Mm-hmm. And then just
who,
leave
who
it
are you taking there. The power? Are you taking the power from the guy that you want to be text back from?
Yeah, or
yeah, like you know when you give away your power, Ashley. Essentially,
oh, yeah,
like
saying,
when
I'm
you're trying to sort of chase someone. Yeah, you're not being as attached, or your feelings and emotions aren't as contingent on like what your relationship is like with that person.
It's essentially calling. It's realizing that everything you have already is within you, and it isn't dictated by the validation
external
of receiving the text
things.
From somebody else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool. And then how long do you do that for?
A couple seconds. You can do it for a couple minutes. It just depends on how much time you have. When I did it with my sister a couple of weeks ago, we did it for like a minute. And then when she was ready, she opened her eyes. When I do it with myself, it's like 5 to 10 seconds because it's automatic now. I'm like, calling power back to me now, doing a little snip snip cord cutting, like imagining that there's a silver cord attached to them and just kind of like lightsaber that shit and like detach it. And then other people do like a whole long, like it'll be incorporated into like a longer meditation. So it's really about the amount of time that you have and just energetically cutting the cord.
So, have you seen this work in action?
Yeah, many times. Yes, many times. In fact, while we were doing the meditation with my sister a couple of weeks ago, and she like goes to open her eyes, the text came through. Like, no joke, it was on her phone when she opened her eyes.
That's hilarious. I love when shit like that happens.
Okay. I believe that I have to get somebody, a friend, to try this the next time that somebody's in a pickle with a boy or whatever. I'm going to implement this. My friend is talking about going on a date while she's visiting me, and I'm going to make sure that he texts her back afterward, because sometimes she has an issue with that, and we're going to put this to the test.
Yeah. Just assume, work with the assumption that he will text me back, and this is how it's just going to be.
All right.
Exactly.
All right. So we got that for the single girls out there. And now for the moms, how do you said that you have a trick to prevent a toddler meltdown. You must let me in on this.
It's all about making sure your child feels like they're in control. Okay. So toddlers are freaking animals. They're amazing and awesome and fulfilling. And I freaking love Julian. I love Cameron. They're like my heart and soul. But they are just another level, man. And they are control seeking creatures, like to the point where like you have, it's like for me, I have to say to Julian, like, okay, are we eating the banana with the skin? Do you want to peel it yourself, or do you want mommy to break it in half so you can hold it and eat it on your own? Do you want to use the blue spoon or the green spoon? And it's about giving choice, or at least the illusion of choice for him to feel like he's making a
he's sort of in control,
that he's still in control. But if I were to say, Julian, do you want to eat breakfast? He'd be like, no, I don't want that. Like, okay, so Julian, would you prefer to sit in the black booster today, or would you like to sit in Cameron's high chair and watch Cocomelon as we eat breakfast this morning? And he'll be like, ooh, Cammy's high chair. Right? So just giving the illusion of choice, like the reel that I did with the toddler tantrum was he legit, like he fought me with taking his pajamas off.
Yeah, it's always about clothes going on and off. It's the worst part of my day, to be quite honest. It's like,
I remember hating that when I was a kid. Like, my mom would put pantyhose on me, and I would be like being trapped or going to jail. I don't know why that's what it felt like.
It's just annoying, right? But at the same time, like, you're not going to school and you're freaking like eggs and toast pajamas, sir. Like, we're just
think
not
we
doing
have that,
that
pair
today.
Too.
Yeah, like no, it's like literally kicking and screaming. So I'm like, take two things out, give them options, they pick, and then I'm like, excellent choice. That was an excellent option you chose. Wow, Julian, good job. Now let's go ahead and put on these clothes. Would you like to be standing or laying down when I put on your shorts?
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And then you also said something along the lines of, like, even if they are frustrated, you and then you're frustrated because they're just screaming, that you should never show your frustration.
To an extent, right? Okay. So we don't want to respond to their action in the way that we don't want them responding. Does that make sense? So like if they hit, so for example, and this is extreme, and this, I do not hit my kids. I'm just using this as an example.
I know what you mean.
So if Julian were to smack me and I said, no, Julian, no hitting. And for that, you are going to be hit, right? So I'm telling him to react to anger with the thing that I'm telling him not to do by showing him this is what I'm doing.
Yeah. So help me with this.
Yes.
When my kid just loves to throw food, like he'll eat a good amount. And then I think when he's starting to get full or like disinterested in the food, he throws it like violently, like with tude. He's just like, if for our listeners who watch on the Patreon.
Patreon.
Like, and then like. And then he'll look at me directly in the eye and go,
oh my God, that's so evil.
Like, it's so evil. Like, yes, because I'll be like, don't throw the food. Do not do that. And then he looks at me and goes, it's like a comedian almost. And then like, I know that he also like wants to feed Lois and I'll be like, don't feed Lois. And then it's like, he like dangles it there. He goes,
yeah, but Ashley, do you notice the words that you're saying?
I know. Don't throw the food. Okay, so what she was saying, don't throw the food.
You give him options.
An all done plate.
So do you want to eat anymore?
When you're finished, here's your all done plate. When you're finished with your food, put your food on the all done plate or put your food on the table when you're finished. So I actually struggled with that too because he would throw his shit everywhere and it drive me nuts because I'm like on my hands and knees scrubbing the floor.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Thank God for dogs being the first dustbuster and then like bringing out the actual dustbuster to get what she doesn't get.
Right. So you're give them choice, but in phrase it in the way that you want in what you want them to do. So remember how I said they're walking subconscious minds and our minds don't process negative. So when you're saying don't throw the food, they're thinking throw food.
Okay.
And then you're saying don't feed Lois and he's saying feed Lois in his head, right?
Right.
So you give him the option of like you can when you're all finished with your food, put it on the all done plate or let's try putting it on the table so it's easy to clean up. So instead of saying don't make a mess, let's keep things nice and clean. I started to do that with Julian, and now we have our all-done plate when he's finished.
I love the all-done plate.
So then he puts the food on a different plate when he's done. I don't think he's going to understand this at 17 months, though.
I started with Julian when he was a year, when we were doing, like, actual food, like, when we moved from puree to actual food. Yeah. It took a little while for him to grasp onto it, but I would say, like, after a couple of weeks of just reminding him when food's all finished, we put it on the all-done plate.
But I think that he likes the drama of it.
Maybe.
Because he's so dramatic like me. He's like, let's make a show.
It's like, dude, it's like they look you in the eyes and then they laugh and do the very thing that he's
totally laughing. Yeah.
So today,
yeah.
You have to just remember that kids want to do they are also testing boundaries, right? Kids are testing boundaries.
Right.
But they want to make mommy and daddy happy and they want to make mommy and daddy smile. And that's why they, like, if you're, like, for me, like, I would laugh every time that Julian would do that. And it got to a point where my husband was like, stop that.
Yeah,
so I stopped the laughing, and then I started to implement like the rules, like here's the all done plate, here's this, here's that, and good job. And I would totally like reward him, not with like a lollipop or anything that comes with like other negotiations, but you know, like clapping or being like good job when he does things that he should.
All right. Well, thank you. I will try this and also get back to you on this one too. We have two homework assignments. Yay. All right. Well, Amanda, thank you so much for joining us. If people want to get more tidbits from you, I know that you have a ton of Instagram reels like the ones that we have mentioned today on your Instagram, which is Inner Beauty Bible. And that's Bible with a B-Y-B-E-L.
I love your last name.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know. It's so nice.
So good.
And you also have the podcast, which you can just type into the podcast app called Related. Anything else that we should know?
Yeah. Anything else you want to plug?
I have a tapping, EFT tapping with mamas and minis, where we are going to be going over age-appropriate techniques to use with your toddlers all the way up to preteen, working on mama mindset and learning the foundations and fundamentals of emotional freedom technique, which is tapping that I use with Julian on a regular basis. There's a live workshop coming up on July 6th, so you can totally check that out. And if you can't join us live, there's going to be a replay if you ladies want to come.
Where do people sign up for it?
Innerbeautybible.com.
Amazing. Wow. Yay.
Thank you so much for these little tips.
Thanks so much for joining us. We loved looking at everyone. Watch on Patreon so you could see her amazing feather wall behind her.
It's so sick.
I love
so
it.
So cute. Thanks, Amanda.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
I Don't Get It Podcast.